Blog Talk Radio.
Today's segment of the A New Day Show. I am your host, Dynamic Daphne. And again, it's an honor to be on this broadcast with you today. I have an amazing guest that's been hanging out with me in the virtual green room to just share her amazing story with you. And my guest is joining us, or has joined us rather, from the sunny island of Trinidad and Tobago. And oh, what an amazing woman this is. She and I met a few weeks ago when I was on Donna Tyson's show. And I've just connected with her. She's doing an amazing job there in Trinidad. And God is doing an amazing job in her, which we will be blessed to hear about when I bring her on live. I want to remind you that the chat room is up. We love for you to get involved. We want for you to call in. The number to call is 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166. And I encourage you, you're listening online, you need to just let everyone know that you are on this amazing show. I want to welcome guest 6943. It's an honor to have you on the show. And we are up for an amazing ride this evening. This is a phenomenal woman. My guest is Earlene Parsons from Trinidad and Tobago, as I mentioned. And I know, you know, for a West Indian to take time out on a Sunday evening, it's a blessing, because we know how important Sunday is to us West Indians, and we don't want to spend that time to spend with anybody else other than family. So I feel I'm blessed to have Earlene spending this time with us. So without any further delay, I want to bring on live back with us this evening, Miss Earlene Parsons from Trinidad. Earlene, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Dr. Daphne, and thank you very much again for having me. And yes, it is West India preferred time, Sunday evening,
yes,
for family. Yes. But I pray that our talk today will encourage someone, and that would be well worth taking the time out.
Yes, I really, really, really appreciate you. I tell you, earlier on this afternoon, a little after 5 p.m., we had a short power outage, and I said, Lord, please, let the power came back. And the minute I said, Lord, please, it came back. So I was so thankful, because I know this is going to be a blessing, not
Excellent.
Only for myself, but also for anyone who will listen to this
yes.
show, whether they are listening live or on the archives. So,
yeah, definitely.
Let us start at the beginning, because
mm-hmm.
that's the only place to start. You know, we all have a story, and in this world, we all need to learn to tell our story. But before we get into your story, why don't you please take the first few minutes to introduce Erlene Parsons to the world?
Okay, thank you, Dr. Daphne, again. Well, I am Erlene Parsons, and as Dr. Daphne said earlier, I reside in Trinidad and Tobago, Twin Island State of the Caribbean. I am a mother of two children, a daughter and a son, a grandmother of four little ones, one girl, three boys, and I am presently engaged in doing workshops centered around self-development. I do motivational speaking, as well as I do facilitation, and primarily at this point, I am facilitating, training, and equipping other women to be facilitators in support of women who are survivors of situations of crime in our country. In a nutshell, that's who Erlene Parsons is, and I just want to add, too, that I am born again and feel that is significant
mm-hmm.
in explaining or conveying who I am as
mm-hmm.
Erlene Parsons.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. As you so eloquently share with us, not only you took the time to say who you are as a person, but you also took the time to stipulate that you know to whom you belong. And that in itself speaks volume about who you are, because there are a lot of people in this world really still do not understand to whom
Correct.
They belong. And regardless of what we do in this life, we have to get an understanding of to whom we belong and why we belong.
Yeah.
So that is a blessing. Now,
it is.
Now, why have you dedicated yourself and career to the line of work that you are now doing, that you now got involved in?
I think because, one, it's evidently a part of the whole purpose over which God gave me life in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But, two, because in gratitude for what God has done to me, in
mm-hmm.
setting me free from hurt, bitterness, pains, you know, and just as an act of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
As well
mm-hmm.
as in the course of life, you encounter so many women who
mm-hmm.
struggle to reach their fullest potential.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was set free, I think that it's my duty to help them rise as well and become who they can truly be.
Mhm, mhm, mhm. You speak with such passion, Erlene, about being set free, and that free is in capital letters.
Yes. Yes.
To what do you speak with such passion, and to what freedom do you speak about?
Really and truly, I believe that ever since I entered into relationship with God through Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
I began a process of freedom in my mind,
mm-hmm.
coming into a better understanding of who I am, as you
mm-hmm.
said earlier, and whose I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it liberated me. It liberated
mm-hmm.
me. No longer did people's opinions of me matter.
Mm-hmm.
No
mm-hmm.
longer did people's categorizations of who I am and where I've come from matter. All mm-hmm. that mattered was that Christ said that I was free, and I started to become free indeed, mm-hmm. you know, as I became a disciple of Christ, mm-hmm. obviously, and began studying his word, and that tells us the truth about who we are.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, in other words, what I hear you saying, you are not a nobody. Indeed, you
correct.
Are a somebody, and indeed a masterpiece by the Creator, huh?
Correct. That's right.
Right. So you are not a counterfeit, and I think everybody need to listen to that, because too many people are there thinking that they are carbon copies of
correct.
Others. But when you
correct.
See yourself as the original masterpiece, you can indeed step out boldly like Arlene has done and claim your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Your freedom in him that nobody can deprive you of and nobody will ever be able to compete with.
Correct.
I want to go ahead.
I remember when I met you and I looked at your profile online and I thought, wow, this is another dynamic woman of God. Mm-hmm. I was elated and overjoyed to meet Daphne. Mm-hmm. I never had a thought run through my head that even though some of the things we do are similar, that I want to be Daphne. No,
mm-hmm.
I was rejoicing in you just being you and grateful
mm-hmm.
for you,
mm-hmm.
who you are, what
mm-hmm.
you do, who you reach, who you are able, whose lives you're able to touch and help transform. And, you know, that is something that not a whole lot of people can understand.
That's
I don't
right.
want to be Daphne or an extension of Daphne.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be Arlene, just who mm-hmm. I am.
That's right.
You know?
And that's why we who are certain of who we are and to whom we belong, we can step out boldly on the same platform and share it with no
correct.
Fear and no anxiety because
correct.
Of our authenticity. And let us just stick a pin there. Have to take a commercial break, and we're going to be right back.
Certainly.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
Yes, yes, yes. I am here with Miss Arlene Parsons from Trinidad and Tobago. And I tell you, we have just started, but I tell you, it's getting warm up in here. So if you have not yet joined the conversation, the chat room is opened and the lines are open and waiting for you to dial in. The number is 646-915-8166. So again, I want to thank you, Arlene, for joining in. And as we were about to go to commercial break, we were talking about how, although there are some similarities in the work that we do, we are not threatened by each other, nor are we looking to duplicate or clone each other, because God have us on this path and we can collaborate without any fear that there is a competition, because all we both need to do is to concentrate on our past performance and compete with that, not with each other's performance.
Well said, Dr. Daphne. I could not have said that better, and that's so true. You know,
mm-hmm.
I seek to improve upon who I am continuously
yes.
and what I do to do it better. Likewise
that's right.
yourself. So there's no issue of competition between
that's
us.
That's right. That's
but
right.
But rather, we can even complement each other in what
mm-hmm.
we do.
That's right. That's what it's all
yeah.
about.
Let us
go back a little.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody listened to you talk about freedom. And you're walking in the true calling and purpose that God has brought you to realize. However, your humble beginning wasn't hunky-dory. I mean, it wasn't always very pleasant. Would you like to talk about that?
Okay. I was born into a mixed ethnicity family with an East Indian mother and a father who was mixed Caucasian and black.
Mm-hmm.
And in Trinidad, back in the 60s and before that, even up to very, you know, mid-70s, there was a lot of racial prejudice, particularly amongst East Indians. So mixed marriages was not something that was well respected, and children of mixed marriages then were discriminated against in some ways. What that did to me as a child of mixed ethnicity was it caused me to be very angry.
Mm-hmm.
And at the root of anger, we find bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
I was a hater. I really disliked everybody. Mm-hmm. I was a very adversarial person.
Mm-hmm.
But in retrospect, I realized it was my method of coping with what pain, you know, the whole situation caused me.
Mm-hmm.
And not wanting to seem to be a victim,
mm-hmm.
You know, I was just feeling that I was badder than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I had nothing good to say about most people, obviously, because in pressing down other people, I felt better about myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that was the genesis of my life. We had a lot of issues in terms of conflict in the family, but there was a lot of the way people would treat you, especially on my mother's side of the family. It made you feel that you were not 100% good,
mm-hmm.
or you know, what would be born into the right circumstances, that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it really was a very painful beginning of life for me, especially
mm-hmm.
coming into my teen years, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I married early, and again, because of the whole rebellious attitude and indifference, my mother and myself had a very strained relationship, and
mm-hmm.
I think in order to please my mother, I actually married an East Indian. And
mm-hmm.
that marriage lasted
but
3 years.
Before we go there to the marriage, we want to linger a little more on your mother giving birth to you and all of that. We want to talk about what the reception was as a baby coming into this world, you know. Was there a welcome party? What was it like for the grandparents of you coming into this world? I want to take this opportunity to welcome a regular listener to the show, Sister Marilyn. I also want to welcome guest 7456 to the show. And, of course, you know my honored guest is the distinguished Arlene Parsons out of Trinidad and Tobago. Thank you guys for coming in. Yes.
Yes.
What was it like for you when your grandparents, what are some of the stories your mother has shared with you about when she gave birth to you and you came into this world?
I remember one of the really hard things to accept was my mother's father, my grandfather. When my mom took me to his house to introduce him to his new grandchild,
mm-hmm.
he was reading a newspaper, and he held that in front of his face between my mother and himself. He never mm-hmm. dropped the newspaper. And when she says, you know, Pa, I brought your new granddaughter to see you, and he said to her, I have so many grandchildren. What is one more? Now, my mom left there, and she never returned or brought me to my grandfather's house again. The next time I saw my grandfather is when I was about 15 years old, and it was probably 2 weeks before he actually died. So
my
we
Lord.
Really had no real relationship. My grandmother on my mother's side, she was quite a lady, an entrepreneur, and her own thoughts on lots of things. She didn't really treat me with a lot of indifference.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother's brothers, to me, they never accepted us as children, you know, because we were mixed.
Yes.
And we never had very close family relations with my mother's siblings and their children.
And as a child, Earlene, how did this let you feel? Did it affect you in your everyday life, in your district, and when you go to school? How did this affect you growing up?
Yeah, it did. It did have an effect on me, negative, obviously, growing up, because I felt like I didn't fit in anywhere. I was also very hurt over the way my father was treated or considered by my mother's siblings as somebody who was less than they were, you know. And again, that too hurt me. I loved my father dearly, so I stood with him. I identified with him. Unfortunately, my dad had come from St. Vincent with an older sister who migrated here. So in terms of my father's family, there was not many of them, just that one sister and her children. We were kind of close to them as well, and there was no indifference from them. You know, we were well received by them and loved and stuff like that. But in school and primarily in elementary school, I felt different. I felt different, but not different good, different bad, you know. Inferior. I had a lot of insecurities and fears about the way I looked, and you know, just about everything. It was amazing. I didn't even believe that I was a beautiful person physically. You know, I remember one a woman looking at me one day and saying, "You don't know how beautiful you are, right?" And I sat there thinking in my mind, does this lady think I'm on the other side? Because I'm not into that game, you know, I'm as straight as they come. But really, she was just complimenting my beauty, and I am a physically beautiful person.
And that was strange for you, because over your entire life, you never saw yourself in that light. You always thought you were less than, and now God provided somebody in your path to point out to you the masterpiece that He has created, and it was hard for you to embrace and accept that. I want to welcome guest 7542 to the show. Thank you for joining us. Yes, go ahead, Earlene.
I don't think that overcoming that without having a new understanding of who I was in terms of a child of God, created by God in His own image and likeness, I do not think that I would have gotten to this place of healing and wholeness without God. I think that He is the primary reason that I am who I am today, and becoming even more so.
You know, it is so reassuring to know that God is the healer. It doesn't matter what hurt you are going through. He's the only healer, true healer that there is. And He sustains us and He embraces us. That regardless of what we have been through, we can still overcome and be healed of that, and what a reassurance that is.
Yeah, definitely.
So
recently, I had an experience where I gave a talk recently, and after the talk, so many people came up to me and said, "Wow, you're such a wonderful person. You're so awesome. You have so much wisdom, and you know all these things. You know, great kudos." And that afternoon, as I reflected on my quiet time before God, when I what they said, and I contemplated on who I was and who I am now, I can't take any credit for myself. That is the actual work of God.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Yeah. And the reassurance in that is knowing that that same work is available to everyone so long as we ask Him to come in. And we welcome and embrace Him, because He's no respecter of persons. He does not play favoritism. He gives equal to all of us, but we got to ask and we got to accept. If you're just joining us, my guest is Erlene Parsons from the islands of Trinidad and Tobago, and what a show it is. Remember, the lines are open, 646-915-8166. I want to thank Mar Ben for helping us out in the chat room there. She is just a devoted friend and supporter of the show. And again, I want to thank her for doing that. Now, since you have found freedom, and what's the relationship like between your cousins and you? Because you did not have any relationship with them when you were growing up. But what is it like now?
It never ceases to amaze me whenever I would have one of them, particularly from my mother's male siblings, say, their children say to me that I'm one of the more intelligent people they've ever known, or to compliment me on my opinion or on something. I had a little foray into politics and, you know, everybody commended me and that kind of thing. Personally, I bear them no grudge. I understand
Amen.
That they operated in their ignorance and, you know, I feel sorry for them, but I personally love them and interact with them as I would anybody else.
That's
if
right.
I receive indifference from them, I just stay my length, my arm's
That's
length
right.
away.
That's right,
you
because
know?
God healeth all things.
Correct. But even if I would stay an arm's length away, I would be the first person to go to their aid if ever I see that they have need.
That's right.
You know, because I think that is actually demonstrating the love of God and will help them to overcome their own limiting way of thinking and beliefs.
Yes, yes. I want to get welcome again, guest 7653 to the show. And, you know, what you have said, it's a true confirmation that when people react to us, we should not take it personally, because they do that out of their personal hurt. And all we can do is to love them unconditionally. Because you
For
know
real.
How it is when people do you wrong and you extend some love and gratitude and appreciation to them. They cannot take it because they think that you have an ulterior motive for what you're doing. But they don't understand that it is the God inside of you why you can extend such gesture and gratitude to them. But all we need to do is to keep doing it until they accept it.
Yeah,
again, I want to encourage you to call in 646-915-8166. And let us hear from you if you can relate in any way to what Erlene is sharing. I want to hear from you. Now, in your line of work, I want to mix it up, go through your life story and in your line of work. And as you work with the women there in Trinidad and Tobago, do you find any women who has a similar story with you or have encountered any of the things that you encountered in your life?
Yeah, certainly. I have met women who are older than I am who had experienced even worse discrimination than I did. And as a matter of fact, this week I spent quite a lot of time with a precious sister who has become a friend. She is in about, she's just turned 60, and she's also mixed ethnicity. And, you know, she was telling me some of the horror stories that she experienced as a child. And now, as a woman in her 60s, she's now in school doing her degree in journalism. She's an awesome writer and poet. But she kept all these things suppressed. We were at a fellowship on yesterday morning, mm-hmm. and I shared something, and then she openly responded to the group. The group was about 15 people, mm-hmm. and she was telling me after when we had lunch, you know, Earlene, mm-hmm. I would never have done that before. Mm-hmm. I would have kept my opinion to myself, and mm-hmm. all of this is as a result of the things said to her and done mm-hmm. against her and discrimination mm-hmm. that she received as a child and as a young woman growing up being mixed ethnicity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yes, you know, I encounter women like that all the time.
We all have our stories, and it is important that we tell our stories. Because,
yes.
you know, part of you being on this show today is a couple of months, I think, ago when I was telling my story. It mm-hmm. it inspired you to write a powerful blog about
yes.
who you are and what you are doing. And we are in this world, and we just need to do what we are doing without trying to figure out why we are doing it. Because
yeah.
everything that we do is to help others, to minister
yeah.
to others, and to help other people to craft their story. What if
right.
you did not go to do that presentation with that lady? It would
yeah.
not encourage her to open up and to tell her stories. Because you know what I've noticed? A lot of us think we are the only ones in life that has been through stuff.
Yeah.
And I tell you, oh, no, 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 no. We
no.
aren't the only one. You'd be surprised when you listen
yeah.
to a lot of what people have been through. You say, oh, my heavens, I haven't been through
yeah.
nothing.
Yeah. You know what, Dr. Daphne,
mm-hmm.
in all reality, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And
that's
his
right.
first place of trying to do that with each human being is in our opinion of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Steal our peace.
That's
kill
right.
our potential. Snuff
that's
it out
right.
as early as possible.
That's
and
right.
And so
that's right.
every person has a story.
Mm-hmm.
I am really grateful that I listened to you that day on that program because, as you rightly said, I have been writing a blog before, but I've never been very consistent, and my topic has not necessarily always been myself. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's more geared towards current events happening in the world. And I was prompted that day to begin telling my story, and I am amazed at how many people come to me after and said to me, from the international community, they
mm-hmm.
admire my boldness and frank openness.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend says that I'm brutally honest, even if it's at my own expense. But I believe God wants me to speak the truth at all times, because truth
that's right.
sets people free.
Amen.
You know?
That's right. Because you know something? People are not looking for sugar-coated things. People
no.
want us to be real. People want us to be authentic, because it is in our uniqueness and authenticity that encourages others to be able to tell their story. You don't need a degree to tell your story. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to go to university. You don't have to go to high school to tell your story, because your story is authentically you. Who you
correct.
Are, and whether
correct.
It is raw or it is refined, all you got to do is to tell it, because it will allow somebody to get off their couch or off of their tree stump to tell
mm.
their story, to help others to get out of the trenches and the
mm.
gutters of where they are. Again, if you're in the chat room and you have a question, type it. Or if you want to call in, just call in. The number is 646-915-8166. So just be part of this conversation. And if you relate in any way to what we're talking about, we would like for you to weigh on in this conversation. Yes, Marilyn in the chat room says, tell your story, it will help someone else. Yeah, it sure does. You know, it helps other people. It helps them to come to their comfort level within themselves, because a lot of people are so bogged down by shame and guilt. And that's what gets into the way of people telling their stories. Trust me, there are no shame. There can only be healing in helping you to overcome. Again, the number 646-915-8166. You began earlier on talking a little bit about your marriage. Now, let us go back there. You got married early. You got married to an East Indian man because you felt a need to please your mother. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Well, it was a mismatch from get-go because he came out of two different cultural backgrounds, him being East Indian from an East Indian home and central Trinidad, which is primarily an East Indian culture and population of people. Their lifestyles are different. I came out of the East, again, mixed ethnicity, exposure to travel, women in the context of our culture that I grew up in, had the capacity to be educated and to be anything that they wanted to be, had an opinion and was free to voice it. It was different from where he came, so that we were clashing on a continuous basis. Additionally, his family thought that he had done a major faux pas by marrying somebody who wasn't 100% East Indian. And it was a constant struggle throughout the situation. Until one day I went home and met him with somebody else, and that was the end of the marriage. I walked out, never returning to the home. I gave up everything that we had together. I gave it up.
You gave up all material position for the freedom that you now have. And that is such a powerful story. That is such a powerful story. Now, in 2011, when you look around your environment there in Trinidad and Tobago, is that thinking still prevalent on the island?
Not anywhere near what it used to be. Now we have dealing with discrimination in terms of people's socioeconomic background as opposed to ethnicity. Because primarily in terms of the islands, Trinidad is one of the most mixed of all of the ethnicities in the islands. I mean, we have people mixed Negro, African and Chinese and Indian and Hispanic and Spanish and French Creole. We have all proliferation of mixes here. So now we have issues with people's socioeconomic background, but it's still not near what it used to be in the past, you know? And I think the younger generation is growing up more accepting of each other and ready to interact and integrate with each other than in previous generations.
Right, because I remember growing up, I'm from Jamaica, and I remember growing up in Jamaica, and we have some of everybody there. We have the people we call the Syrians. We have the Jewish. We have the Chinese. We have the black people. I cannot recall that there were any interracial relationships that was forged.
Right.
However, when I go back to Jamaica now in the 20th century, I am depicting some kind of prejudice because I hear people talking about who is brown skin and who is this color and that is. And I'm thinking, where and when did this thing came about? What happened to the beautiful island of Jamaica where everybody was one? You know, it's amazing to see this kind of dramatic change. And Earlene got disconnected, and I know she will call in back. And it's amazing that when I go back to the island of Jamaica now and to hear people talking about brown skin and who is light skin and who is this and who is that. When I was growing up there, it was not like that. Just go ahead, Earlene, and call right back in, my dear. Just call back in. And my guest before she got dropped off the call was Earlene. Thank God she just got
call back in.
Yes. We know technology has a mind of its own. And, you know, that's why we just love it too. Because if it was not for technology, we would not be on this broadcast now, just like we are sitting next door to each other. But, you know, this is why it is so important to find our freedom in Christ. Because when we find our freedom in Christ, we don't worry about our kinky hair, straight hair, chocolate skin, olive skin. All of that thing don't come into play. Because
we know.
That's right. It is irrelevant. It is irrelevant. And it is so reassuring to know. I remember some years ago when I met this gentleman at an event, and he asked what type of work I was doing, and I mentioned that I was a motivational speaker. And he giggled and he said, "Oh, with your Jamaica accent, I don't see how you could be." And maybe 6 years later, when I was nominated and appointed the state president for the National African American Speakers Association, and at my inaugural luncheon, the gentleman was sitting there, and I made mention without embarrassing him how a gentleman thought that I could not be an inspirational speaker with my Jamaican accent. And I said, "I wonder where he is today." And he was the first to applaud, because you know something? He forgot that he was the one that said that. But I tell you, when God elevated us, he does a great job, and we don't have to worry about that. Time for another commercial break. And remember, guys, the line's open, 646-915-8166. I'm on with my guest, Earlene Parsons from Trinidad and Tobago.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right. Remember, show my guest some love. Call in 646-915-8166. Call in. Show my guest a little love. You know, we like to hear your voice. We like to get your questions. And just call in and show a little love, if it's even for 30 seconds. Call in and say something to her. If you can relate to what she is saying, please let us hear from you. The number is 646-915-8166. The phone lines are open and we are waiting for you. And as you look on the life you live now and the freedom you enjoy, do you have any regrets, Earlene?
None. Absolutely none. I thank God for every single situation that I have encountered in life, because it has molded and helped me to become this person that I am. It's taught me what really love is all about, and caring and sharing and stuff like that. No, I have no regrets.
Amazing. What a wonderful story. That's why I tell people, regardless of the experience you're encountering, I want them to slow down, take time, embrace each lesson that you have learned, because you might not see the advantage of that lesson right now, but as you grow, you can see how it has helped to mold you into the person that you have become. Trust me, it all comes together in full circle.
Yeah,
every experience will help to empower your life. It helps you on your journey. It's a tool that you can personally utilize, or you can give it to somebody else to use. It mm-hmm. is amazing. If I, if you, somebody's listening, and they're probably saying, I wonder what are some of the lessons that Earlene has learned through this critical time when she was growing up and all the things, not able to visit with her grandparents at Christmas time, Easter time, and all the times when children want to go over to their grandparents. I know especially during the Christmas time, around the Christmas, we like the candy cane and the mint ball and the drops and the grater cake and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can't go to your grandparents to get any of that. What are some of the lessons you have learned and you took out at that time?
Well, for one, I have dedicated and decided that my grandchildren will never have that experience in their lives. And so my eldest grandson, who is 7, but will swear and argue the point that he is 8 years old, and myself will, we have healthy conversations, of course.
Yes,
we do things together. I try to be a very active part of their lives, all mm-hmm. elements of their lives. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, for one, I'm going to make sure that they have what I didn't have.
Yes.
And
yes.
because I know the hole is left in me, mm-hmm. I'm not going to allow for them to have that in their lives.
That's
you
right.
know?
That's right. That's right.
And again, it taught me to really love and to not discriminate against others, because I don't want to cause anybody the pain that was you know, put
inflicted
on
you. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
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 So it has really enabled me to see life from a different mm-hmm. perspective, to mm-hmm. be more patient with other people and myself, mm-hmm. To think things through before acting upon things rashly,
mm-hmm.
you know, and consider mm-hmm. how it would affect the other party, you know, my decision and my action to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think primarily in terms of my grandchildren, that would be one of the major things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I try to take time out from even my busy schedule. Now
mm-hmm.
that school is out and it's a vacation time, I try to put aside time so that I can have them over and that we
mm-hmm.
can spend time together, you know.
And just to sit with them, because, you know, time lost will never be able to recoup. And it is so important, because, you know, today a friend of mine at church was showing me on her camera a DVD that she took out of her little granddaughter. And I look at her and I said, my heavens, when I met her few months ago, she was a tiny baby in her mother's arms, and now she's running, kissing herself through the mirror and the wall. She moved up and she kissed herself. And I said, my heavens, look how quickly they grow. Because by the time you bat your eyelids now, kids grow up and they're gone.
Yeah. They are adults. They are adults. If I have any regrets in life, Daphne, is that my children, when they were growing up, because I had chosen to be a single parent and had to, you know, work longer hours, etc., and not spend as much time as I should have or could have with them,
mm-hmm.
that would be the one regret I have as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
I would have done things differently in that regard and
mm-hmm.
spent more time with my children, because
mm-hmm.
they are adults now. You know,
mm-hmm.
they have their own lives. And I remember when I returned to Trinidad not about 7 years ago, I remember
mm-hmm.
having all this all excitement about a plan I had for them to all come together and have lunch. And my son said to me, but Mommy, I'm sorry, I made plans already. This is late.
Mm-hmm.
You're bringing this to me late. And
mm-hmm.
my daughter had her stuff to do, and I sat there and I thought, well, my babies are gone. They're now adults.
That's right. That's right. That's right. However, I am sure there is something that you have done in their lives that they can be and be proud of. And I tell you something. I, too, am a single parent, and I remember growing, living with my son in Danbury, and I was not changing the way I parent, because everywhere I was going, I used to be dragging my son with me, and I think he was 11 and a half years old, and I had bought tickets to go to a jazz concert. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't thinking the kid is 11 year and a half. He wanted to be with his friends. And I said to him, oh, get ready, get ready. It's almost time for us to go. And he said, where are we going, Mommy? And I said, to the jazz concert. And he said he didn't want to go. And Earlene, I closed my room door. I didn't go. And I began crying because I saw it as a letdown. But then I came to the realization it was not a letdown. He was a kid that wanted to be around with his peers. And we look into those things and forget that our children are not our mates. And we have to change the way that we parent. But I am sure there are things that your children has learned from you that they will use in their lives. So let us not kind of sob about water under the bridge, but know that you did the best that you could do then for them.
Definitely.
I want to welcome guest 8269 to the chat. The line is open, 646-915-8166. Feel free to call in or type your questions to the show. So as you express your freedom, newfound freedom, how has that impacted the lives of your children, if it has in any way?
It has. My daughter is a very independent young woman, and so is my son. I think that the examples they saw in me have worked for them being who they are today. And I have to say that I'm proud of who they are becoming, you know, as young adults. I see them making their little mistakes, but I also see them recovering.
That's right.
So I do believe that it has impacted their lives positively. You know, they haven't always agreed with everything. And even though I think that sometimes my daughter thinks I should be a little less active and a little bit more available to my grandson. But I have to remind her that I'm not old. Old these days is anywhere past 90. And
who says that?
Sorry.
Who says old is past 90? Oh, I guess you don't see some 90-year-old on what they're doing. Age is just a number. And when you allow God to use you, he sees no chronological age.
Correct.
Because there are some 14-year-olds who are old, if you are to ask me, because they still are not doing what God has blessed them to do. So let us not let age get in the way of creativity and productivity, because God has no chronological time. We are the ones that get all these barriers in the way as excuses, you know?
Yeah, that's the truth. That is the truth. So I think as long as I have health, strength, and I can use my mind, I will be about my father's business.
That's right. And the beauty about the adversities that we have overcome, I know for me, I have learned how to embrace my adversities for greater advantage, you know? And it has helped me, because I look and I decide, well, let me dissect what has happened to me and let me look how I can use this for the benefit and for the journey that God has me on. And, you know, Mar Ben talk about says she's 63. 63, and never dreamed I would be helping with Radar. That's right, because she's retired. But, you know, God can always use us in different areas. How many people who are quote-unquote retired, and they just come out and say, well, you know, I've always wanted to do this, and I've always wanted to do that. And they just start, and it is as if they are 18 just starting out because they have found newfound satisfaction and joy in helping others. Because I am so thankful for Marilyn. Every time she comes into this chat room, not only is she listening, but she's helping to put energy in the chat room so that all the other listeners there can find joy in being where they are. And not only she does it for me, she does it for so many other people. And what a blessing she is. She is indeed a blessing. You know, age is not getting through. And she's serving everybody else, because I think it was last week she signed off like 10 minutes early because she wanted to go get the golf cart. Because the old women in her community, she take them out in the golf cart to give them a ride. And what a blessing it is to serve others.
Excellent.
You know,
so
we can always find some other way of adding value to somebody else's life. And you might be listening, and I want you to find out what is your passion. How can you help others? Guest 8405, welcome to the show. And, you know, if you want to call in, feel free to call in 646-915-8166. If you can relate to what we are talking about in any way, I want you to just type something right there in the chat room. Let us know how you relate. Yes. You know, it's important to find out what our calling and purpose is in life, because once we are connected to that, then we don't get into the petty things of life about competing with each other and holding on any grudge about what has happened to you in life. You see it as lesson learned and you use it to help you propel you into the purpose and the journey that God has you on. Now, you have a very impressive bio. And I remember when I posted it up there on the site, a gentleman wrote and said, wow, this is amazing. Reading this has inspired me to go out and do something and make something happen. When you read something like that from a fellow reader, how does it make you feel, Arlene?
Encouraged. And, you know, ironically, I have so many things out of that bio because it would have been too long. And it makes me feel encouraged that it motivated somebody to live a full life.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of my life, I want to know that I have used every gift, every talent that God has given me to its maximum potential. Not only for myself, but unto Him. And in that way, it will be through serving others, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really encouraging. Yeah.
Yeah, because we are all servants. And when we see every day we get up and we move ourselves out of the equation, then we are free to go out and love on people and to serve them unconditionally without looking for anything else in return. Because when we do Daddy's job, when we serve His people, He compensates us in a way that no other can. And I think that's what we should all strive for.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree with you. You know, I mentioned earlier my 61-year-old girlfriend who had even worse issues back in her childhood because she was mixed ethnicity. And she, you know, shared with me some of the work that she has done, her poems, etc., her short stories. And as I read them, I said to her, could this be... This is a book that you need to publish, and not only do I see it being for the open market, but I can see this being used in our secondary school in the English literature, English language curricula.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, somebody mentioned that once when I shared it with them. Well, she's so fired up now, she's starting to compile her work and begin to look, I'm going to help her with this process in terms of getting a publisher. When I see who she's becoming, it gives me a sense of purpose in life, you know?
That's right. Well, I pray that we get to hear her story here on the show. It's like Marilyn in the chat room, she's talking about when I shared about the book In Pursuit of Purpose that has helped to change my life. She, this, I tell you, the goodness in this lady. Not only did she purchase one copy, she purchased two copies because she said, I want one for me and I want to bless somebody else with one. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
Because she knows there got to be somebody out there that she can help to make a difference in their lives. And she's willing to invest in them. And that is what it is all about. Us investing in somebody else's life. And trust me, it does not take a lot. Sometimes it might be going to a thrift shop and you got a good deal there. Next time you can tell somebody about it. Hey, I find this thrift shop at this place. Why don't you stop there and see if you can find anything? It's the simple things. We can always find a way to add value to somebody else's life.
Yeah,
now,
definitely.
If I can ask you, giving back is free. That's right. Marilyn says giving back is free. It does not cost anything. And isn't that the truth? For those people, Erlene, who want to overcome all the struggles and hurt, but it is just so painful and they don't know where to begin. Would you please give them a checklist to just walk them through this?
I would say that you need to start at the beginning, and that is having a conversation with God. Be open. Honest conversation with God. From there, I would admonish you to enter into a relationship with Him. Give Him control of your situation and your pain and your despair and your distress, and allow Him to lead you through the process. That would mean that you would need to take personal responsibility where you have done things that might not have been best in situations, interacting with others, and compounding your pain and your distress.
Mm-hmm.
I would also recommend that people look towards getting help from someone that they can trust. Have somebody that can trust, then by all means get a counselor or a therapist. And begin to get it out of your system. Begin to talk about the hurts, the pains, the issues. Because in talking about some of these things and you're hearing it being spoken, the solutions and healing starts to happen. You know, so we'll say that is the first point. For me, I picked up the Bible and I started to read. And I started to respond to what I was reading by communicating with God, you know. And I did these things I call experiments with God. God says, if I give up this, if I forgive this person, He will do something. He will give me joy. Okay, I forgive them. I realized that forgiving is a process. So I make a decision to forgive, you know. Mm-hmm. And I choose to be instead of choosing to allow the circumstances to press me down. I choose to rise above circumstances and situations. Mm-hmm. I choose to gain knowledge. The book that you talked about earlier that Marben bought, the two copies of Pursuit of Purpose, excellent book. You know, and we can find help in turning to people like Dr. Monroe, who has written so many wonderful books on purpose, on destiny, and vision, etc., you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would think that I would start leading people towards.
You know, it's important because it's down the bottom line, as I hear you create this list, is our responsibility. It's up to us. Choices are up to us until we take action and responsibility and stop blaming, stop playing the blame game, the government, our situation, our neighbors, you know, the situation we were born into. All those things are crap out. We just need to step back and take responsibility.
Yeah.
Hey, it already happened. So, well, you got to play the game with the deck you have. Play the best game ever.
Correct.
Play the best game ever.
Correct.
Now, as you look, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, one of the greatest gifts God gives us, apart from our salvation, is the power of choice. That's where it all begins, by making that choice to move forward, you know, and like you're saying, not to blame anyone. Look at yourself. Choose to look at yourself first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
What can we look for in the future from you? What are some of your aspirations? What do you have on the drawing board that you're asking God to just help you manifest? You have anything in there that you're just praying that God will help you with?
Yes, I have this dream that God put inside of me to establish a farm and a retreat center on the northeast coast of our island for almost 17 years. I have actually identified a property, and I'm having some difficulty with the sellers in terms of issues over pricing, etc. And I'm really believing God to intervene in that situation so that we could close our property and I would be able to begin to establish the actual project. The farm is a for-profit business so that people can... I can have a center for people who can afford to pay, they'll pay. But for those who cannot afford to pay, we want to be able to offer people the facility to take time apart with God and with themselves and get clarity on themselves before going back out into the jungle of this world, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's my biggest dream, hope, aspiration ahead of me.
Mm-hmm. And listen, the challenges that the enemy is trying to throw up in front of you is a mustard seed to where God is
Amen.
Sitting, because he's on the throne. And he
Yes.
gave you the vision for that retreat center, and it will happen. As Mary Ben says, we will be praying for your dream, Earlene. And, you know, we are in total agreement that will manifest, because I'm looking forward to come into that retreat center and do some work. So I know God is going to let it happen. You know, the enemy is a liar. The enemy is under his feet, and we will trample on him. The enemy has no power and control over God's anointing, because what God gives you is well done. So we know the confusion that the sellers are going through right now. And as we put it out there, that they will wake up with clarity tomorrow morning. And nothing But what God wants will happen. If he anoint that property is going to be for the retreat center, so it is. So it is in spite of what is happening. So just believe. Don't look at it as any setback. Just know that God is in the midst.
Yeah.
And when they call, even before you answer the phone, God is putting inside of you those words that he need those people to hear. Stand strong. Don't speak problems. Don't speak conflict. Just speak clarity and resolution towards that project. It
Amen.
Is his. It is his.
It is. It is.
It is his.
It is his.
You know?
I appreciate your positive words and encouragement, and that is my actual position, you know. I've
mm-hmm.
gotten to that place where I've been recently that when God said, be fruitful and multiply, he didn't only mean in the earth. He meant those things he puts in your heart, those visions.
That's
he
right.
He didn't speak to them. He didn't tell that seed. You shall germinate, and you
Amen.
Shall grow up into that tree, and you shall bear fruit, and God
That's
shall
right.
glorify by this seed, by this vision, this thing that he's put inside of you, and you will grow. So I've been doing that, you know, on a constant basis, and looking
mm-hmm.
to see what God will do.
That's
and he
right.
always does things mm-hmm. in a thing way.
That's right. And you know how disobedient we get. I remember when the Lord had placed in my spirit to start a cable show, local cable show, TV show. And I
yeah.
went to the TV studio so excited and tell the people who were there about it. And they were excited too because they like me and they like my energy and the way I did things because they always see me on other people's show as a guest and they enjoyed my presence. Yet when the Lord gave me the vision to start my own, all I did was talk about it. Well, there's a road in Connecticut called Route 7 South. And I was driving down Route 7 South one morning early. And believe me, I was the only person in my car and I heard the voices. I did not have to give you that vision about the TV show. I could have given it to somebody else. I mashed my brakes early and looked in the back seat and I didn't see anybody. You know what I did? I drove directly to the cable station, spoke to the coordinator there about, I want to come in to do the show. He said, I cannot believe this because it was 2 weeks ago. I was speaking to the lady that works there. And he said to the lady, what happened? You remember Daphne came here and said she wanted to start a show? What happened? She has not come back. And Erlene, I started that show. And now today I'm telling you about it. This was 7.5 years ago. I am not lacking for guests. I have some of the most powerful story that God has provided for me to come on that show. So we get disobedient when God gives us something and we linger, 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 linger. But I'm telling those people who are listening to us now, don't linger. When God gives you something, learn from our mistake. Just get up and go do it. Don't wait for everything
right.
to manifest itself to you. Go do it. Go do it. Because he will provide. Trust me. He don't give you any vision that he's not providing for. He does. And we need to take action with what he has given us so he can give us the rest of what is needed. Wow.
We
are just time go when we are having fun. We are down to the last few minutes of the show. I want for you to kind of just summarize what you want people to remember our conversation for. What are some highlights you want to just pull out of our conversation and leave them with Erlene?
I want to remember that they are magnificent children of God, creations of God. I want them to remember that God has given them the power of choice, and if they would take personal responsibility for themselves, they can choose to rise above any circumstance or situation that life will at them, and they can succeed. I would like also remember that they need to reach out to someone. Seek mentoring. Seek, as Ma Ben says, coaching. You know, there are loads of people doing coaching today. But even in your own communities, there may be elders who are just waiting for you to come and for them to be share their story with you that can enable you to your own life and get to that place of healing. And some reading. Seek knowledge. It will come to you. You will find it. So don't sit down and give up. Don't think that you are the only person in this world who has these struggles or have had encountered situations and struggles. And there are many other people out there willing to help you, willing to offer you guidance along the way. Put your trust in God. Can't go wrong there at all. I'm not saying to anybody, join a church or religion. Pick up a Bible, start reading it, and start talking back to God. Ask him some questions about what you're reading. He'd respond to you, you know.
We have not because we ask not.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Seek, knock. You will find. And you will overcome. It's what God wants. He wants for each of us to be overcomers. Therefore, we make the effort. He reaches back to us and he takes us along that journey. You know.
That's right. You know, it's a good book. Everybody should try and read it every now and then. I tell you, that's a good thriller. But everybody just, you know, I was talking to a couple and I asked them, I said, do you all have a Bible? And the wife hesitated and started looking around, and the husband said, yes, we have one on the shelf downstairs. And I said, well, I want you to take it off the shelf. And that's where a lot of people do have their Bibles. They put it on the shelf that anybody pass through can see the spine, says the Bible. But take it out and keep it with you. And, you know, I'm not telling you to go there and be a theologian, but just open that book and start reading.
Correct. I have found that it is the source of so much wisdom. Every question you have in life, there's an answer in that Bible that you can find for it. Everyone.
That's right.
Get instructions on everything, you know. Just get into a relationship with it. Jesus said that he was the Word. And so when you get into a relationship with that Bible, you get into a relationship with Jesus, you know, and your life changes radically and exponentially. Your life changes. So I would say that would be my major piece of advice. Read the book. Read it. Get into it. And ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding and revelation, and he will. He will.
And, you know, I want to add to that the importance of being still. Like Mar Ben says, it's hard to accept that people do not read their Bibles, but it's the truth. It is fascinating wisdom, history, etc. The Bible is our roadmap to life. It sure is.
It is.
And people hear about you talk to them about the Bible, and the first thing out their mouths, I'm not religious. It got nothing to do with religion. If you read that Bible, it's the roadmap for everyday living. You know, people so entangled with religion, and that is what is messing up our lives. If we understand the true purpose of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we understand it ain't got nothing to do with religion. Because whether you go into church ever again in your life, you still got to live every day. And why not have a great plan and guideline and roadmap to live it by? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I have a friend who posted on her wall recently, "What is love?" And I said to the Lord, you know, I want to answer that, but I want an answer from you. And this morning I'm reading the Bible and I came across this scripture in 2 John, the epistle of John, and I believe it's verse 5. It says, John is saying, "I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love." And I thought, thank you, Father. I mean, I could not have gotten a more direct answer. Lord,
that's
what
right.
is love?
And nothing, it has no connection. You know, we always put stipulation unto love, like Marben says here. There are a lot of people just carry their Bibles to church, yeah, and they don't even read it. And those who really read it is what the pastor tell them on the Sunday. Yeah,
correct.
You know, love is pure, 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 nothing connected to it. Just love, love, love. We don't want in anything else in return.
Correct.
But this is difficult for our people to do. You know, you said to somebody you love them and all of a sudden they start look around because they think you have ulterior motive. But I love you with the love of the Lord.
It is pure.
Yeah. A lady said to me one day, I embraced this brother and I kiss him on the lips. And she asked me, how can I kiss a man on his lips? And I said, why shouldn't I? I said, Christ in me can do everything. You know, and I know what was going through her mind when she saw me kiss the brother on his lips. But my embrace to him was authentic and pure.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I wasn't doing it with anything, any desire from my anatomy. He was my brother in the Lord, and I can kiss him and embrace him as many times that God want me to do. And that is a powerful thing. That is a powerful thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, and that's the whole aspect on which life ought to revolve, love. The Bible, Jesus really said the greatest commandment is that you love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, your mind, and your things, and love your neighbors. The issue is that people do not love themselves anymore, so that they can't be loving their neighbor, and obviously they're alienated from God.
That's
you know?
Right. I was telling a lady just this week, I said to her, stop worrying about what happened. She was wondering whether she should go get some eyelashes and manicure and nails in order to get a boyfriend, or she should wait until she get the boyfriend to get the lashes and stuff. I said, back up a minute. I said, you are not talking to me, but let me put my 25 cents in. I say, you need to go get them lashes for you. You need to get them nails for you. You need to begin to love you. And I said, when you begin to love you, then you're going to attract love.
Correct.
And she looked at me scared when I said that. I say, you got to be exuding love, darling, to get it.
Yeah.
Until you start doing that, ain't nobody going to love you like
Correct.
You love you. I said, go buy yourself some flowers. Take yourself to a Broadway play. Put your glitz and glamour on for you. And then when somebody else come in, he's gravy on that. How can people get in touch with you? How can they find your blog to read your blog?
It is and highlighted there on I think it's been at the top of the page. Just click on blogs and you will see my blogs coming up.
Okay, so just type it in the chat room. Because
you're on
in the chat. So type it in the chat room for people to say, to see.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, this was such a blessing, and I am praying that my listeners will be half as blessed as I have been in this conversation with you. All I can say that I just pray for continued blessing on the amazing things that you're doing. I look forward to God putting us on the platform together in the months and days and years ahead. I pray for long life and success with you, my sister. And I want to use this opportunity to just thank guests 7456-8405-9186. Marben, my darling, I just love you, my sister, for always coming through for me and for helping me. You are such a blessing indeed. And for Miss Erlene Parsons, I thank you for coming on today and for blessing my listeners. And I want to give you the opportunity to just give one closing thoughts before I go to my closing music, Erlene.
Just want you to be encouraged to tune to God, to God's relationship. He is there waiting for you. That will be my key encouragement. And I want to say thank you, Dr. Daphne and Mabel. You are so sweet. Thank you so much. God bless you guys.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And what an amazing show this has been. I thank her for coming in all the way from Trinidad and Tobago. And for your guys who join in the show, thank you. Because unless you listen, we have no show. So we thank you, Marben, again. I thank you for doing an amazing job there in the chat room. And listen, Erlene's story is enough. Just an affirmation to let you know that it is okay to follow your destiny that God has you on. So long, guys, and I see you Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
What's the place that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with the slave. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with the slave. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise.